and greetings, Mod Hotep, to everyone. Welcome to this edition of New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, also known as Dr. Filet, and certainly it is always wonderful to be able to be with you live and in living color. Before we begin tonight's program, we want to do a special dedication to two people. This past few days have been really kind of interesting. There are two people in our circle who became ancestors this week. And I can tell you it's, death is inevitable, certainly, but needless to say, when it happens, it can be a bit jarring. And so this past week, that has proven to be the case. Here in Philadelphia, a brother who was very well known in our community made transition, I believe, yesterday. And again, it's been kind of just jarring. And then I received another call today in regards to Nana Kwabi Nana Shanti, who has been on our program a few times, not any time recently, because a couple of years ago he did have a heart attack, but he did make transition today. For those who are not familiar with him, he was not only one of my elders, he was also the one who orchestrated or put the, whatever it is in or what have you for me to obtain an honorary doctor's degree. But more importantly, he is also the author of the Willie Lynch letter. So needless to say, that's a serious loss for us overall in terms of the work that he had accomplished in his years. I mean, he wrote several powerful books. He was an installed Nana from the Akan tradition, meaning in Ghana, and a healer. Very, very powerful brother. Again, you can Google him, Dr. Kwabi Nana Ashanti, and you will see several interviews as well as several articles with his name in it. And, of course, talking about him, and you'll get a chance to see some of his books and some of his work, which I believe is still going to be available by way of his family. The brother that made transition here in Philly, Brother Sabor Muhammad, may have been on our program once, maybe twice over the past few years, but he was involved in the organization here in Philadelphia known as the Southwest Philadelphia District Services. And one of the few groups in the city that was, a little more progressive than most in terms of just being a community organization. So again, both of them will be missed quite a bit, needless to say. And it will certainly be an adjustment for me personally, because I really had very good relationships with both of these very, very strong Black men. At any rate, moving right along, it is official. We announced on May 19th that we would, of course, be holding the We Charge Genocide 21 Mass Assembly on Saturday, September the 4th at the United Nations. Now, this will be the first of several mass assemblies, but this one is very, very important because this is when we really began to start launching various types of what we call boots on the ground kinds of campaigns, where we are in our communities organizing, mobilizing, educating, and edifying. What we mean by that is we are not just going to have people to sign on to either the letter of intent, which is what they're going to be signing on now, or later, the petition. We want to make sure that our people really have an understanding. Those that are interested will be able to get ongoing kinds of information about what these projects and campaigns, initiatives are. What is human rights? What's the difference between human rights and civil rights? We're going to make sure that there are ongoing kinds of sessions that our people will have access to get that information. This is one of the things that has not happened in the past. It's kind of like a hit and miss kind of thing. That's not what we're going to be doing. We literally will have Black human rights collectives, cadres in our communities nationwide. They will have study groups. They will do lectures. They will do film showings, et cetera, in regards to the issues, the topics, and so forth that is related to Black human rights. There are 21 points. That means we have 21 areas that we will be discussing. And, of course, tomorrow, again, big ups to those who participated in this weekend session for our Preparatory Justice virtual forum, Brother Brian Muhammad, Hotep, of course, Sister Gabrielle, several others. We thank Sister Manira, of course, participated in this month's Reparatory Justice session, and it was powerful. We will complete it tomorrow at 1 o'clock. You'll be able to be with us. We're going to go, I believe, from 1 to 4. And tomorrow we have joining us Sister Janine Africa. She's going to give us an update. Of course, just a few weeks ago, there was the commemoration of the MOVE bombing and the destruction of an entire Black community here in Philadelphia, where 64 homes went up in flames, 11 people were murdered. Sister Janine is going to give us an update on what's going on, not so much with that, but specifically the desecration, the violation of the bodies, of the remains of the bodies that were recently discovered, still in the possession. Some of them in the possession of the city of Philadelphia, some in the possession of two colleges, University of Pennsylvania and Princeton, were using the remains of the children for some of their classes. Anthropology and the other class, I believe, was something about forensic. Anyway, Sister Dean's going to give us an update on that because the city of Philadelphia has, in fact, hired its own supposedly independent investigation as well as a legal team. From what we have heard, they have already begun to indicate that they want to settle. Because clearly this is a real civil suit. It should be a criminal suit, but it is a civil suit, needless to say. And so you know how these cities are. They like to get you as quick as you can to get it over with, so they want to give you some money. MOVE has made a clear-cut statement about that, and certainly Sister Janine will convey that tomorrow very clearly, along with some other things that are being planned. In terms of the MOVE organization. So we'll talk with her tomorrow. We're going to also talk with Brother Jamoke. Brother Jamoke, of course, is with the NCOBRA, National NCOBRA, as well as the Republic of New Africa. And his presentation is going to focus on, we're holding pre-plebiscite sessions. Now, ultimately, there will be a plebiscite. But prior to that, there has to be what we call pre-plebiscite sessions because, again, we want to make sure that our people understand, overstand what it is we're talking about. What is a plebiscite? What are some of the examples of a plebiscite? Why is it necessary that we have one? Some of our elders taught us about this decades ago. And to make it seem like it would take 50 freaking years to do something like this, it's almost mind-boggling, but after examining some of what I've been seeing in the past couple of years, I see very clearly why we haven't made or had certain advancements. I get it. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is, and some of us are very, very clear about that and, more importantly, ready to do something about it. So, again, tomorrow we will talk about plebiscite, getting folks ready to get involved in pre-plebiscite sessions that will take us up to 2023, where we plan to have the major actual national plebiscite. But first things are first. It is a process, and it's not one that you can venture into lightly. It's very serious because what it ends up doing is establishing nationhood. That's what it ends up doing. And for some, you know, they're going to hem and haw about it. Well, you know, y'all can't, U.S. not going to, and that's fine, because we already know that that's going to be their position. And we said, fine, okay, whatever you do is what you do. Just, you know, don't concern yourself about what we're doing or getting ready to do or what have you. Do you. So with that said, tomorrow starting at 1 o'clock again, I'll give you some telephone numbers a little later on, but also you can email us or text us, and we will send you directly the link for tomorrow, our Zoom meeting at 1 o'clock. Also joining us tomorrow is our brother Brian's coming back tomorrow as well. He did an excellent job today in talking about the article that he wrote for the Final Call. For those of you that get the Final Call, they had on the front page about 2 or 3 weeks ago, We Charge Genocide. Now, of course, when we saw that, we were like, that's interesting. Well, let's see what that's about. Well, we did, and we spoke with him, and there's a wonderful article, and his focus was primarily on the inquiry or the inquest that was that took place during, I believe it was February. A group of lawyers and other kind of legal minds got together and decided that they really wanted to address the issue of police brutality, i.e. murders. And so they held these sessions, and people were able to give testimonials. Sister Tawanda Jones joined us today because she was literally one of the people who was recorded, and this was a high profile. This was very, very was well structured, but it was also taken to the United Nations. And again, you know, the question always is, well, you know, they're not going to do anything. Well, okay, that's generally a reality. But again, if people did not do certain things, we wouldn't be having certain conversations today. And this is what we tell people. It's not always about what you want to do right now, but you also have to think about what needs to happen for the future and set it up so that it can possibly happen. And so that's what we are looking at doing. Of course, we do plan to you know, achieve some things now in our time, but we know that some things will happen in the future, and we have to do what we need to do to assure that that happens. So we'll tell you more about that a little later on, what we call the Black Print Agenda 25, which is connected to our We Charge Genocide 21 campaign. And things are moving. That's what I can really tell you. I mean, people are beginning to come forward because we've taken a position. And the position is if you do fine and if you don't fine, you know, in reality, you know, not everybody's going to be saved. But we're not going to keep playing these games going back and forth and hemming and hawing and all of that stuff. We have work to do. We're going to do it. And I'm going to do everything possible to make certain that people don't get in the way. That's been happening far too long. Okay, moving right along, we also know that this coming weekend will commemorate the 100-year observance of when perhaps the first bomb was dropped in a major kind of way on a Black community. And, of course, we're talking about Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, I will be going down, I think. This is kind of, like I said, it's just mind-boggling, some of the stuff that's going on. But I've been invited. I plan to go. Not with the big kind of hoopla group and stuff. No, not at all. In fact, in a few moments, you're going to talk to the folk that we will be going with or be with. And we're talking about grassroots folk that are in the hood, in the community. There are some issues that we need to bring to the table. As usual, what tends to happen is money begins to flow. And as a result of that, and no, this is more like government and corporate stuff, when they want to make it seem like they're really about your issue or trying to help you, they then put this money in the mist to help build or do whatever. Anyway, that apparently has happened. But not for the people who live in a certain part of Tulsa or of Oklahoma, where the Black folks are that, you know, really need this kind of support and help. But the building and the refurbishing and all of that is going on uptown. So anyway, we're going to talk very shortly with Sister Rahima, who is, of course, based in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we're going to also talk with our brother, General Parker, who has been there back and forth during, you know, this past year in particular, based on the group, the organizations that he worked with, Black Wall Street USA. And so they will both be joining us in a few. And we are going to venture into the past, the present, and the future, because we have to look at those who care to, how can we begin to invest? And Black women in particular, we've got to look at what are we going to do for our children in the future? I mean, why are we going to keep continuing to think that we're going to have some jobs and we're going to retire and then we're going to have pension and all that? Well, for some, that's true. But the way this thing is going now, we better be thinking of some other things, obviously. So Black women, we must look at investing. And by the way, big shout out to one of our new coordinators, Sister Angela. This is a new Sister Angela, by the way, who is based in Nevada. We are working on, we wanted to do it in 2020, actually, but y'all know COVID stopped a whole bunch of stuff. So we will now work on our National Black Political Convention in Nevada for next year. And Sister Angela is going to be one of our coordinators who is going to help us to do that. Okay? All right, so we'll tell you a little more about that a little later on, too. The Million Woman Party is coming, y'all. And please note, we are not going to be like what most people think. We'll tell you about that a little later. Okay, before we get started with General Parker and Sister Rahima, want to get a couple of shouts outs and ins before we get started. How did I forget this? Not forget it. But Sister Pam Africa will be joining us a little later on also. Of course, with an update on Mumia. Someone was asking last week about Mumia, how's he doing? Well, you're going to get that report directly tonight, okay? Along with some other things in regards to MOVE. Of course, Sister Pam will convey some of that to you as well. But certainly, you're going to find out what's going on with Brother Mumia, okay? All right, before we get started, I think we got a caller that wants to say something to us. This might be Brother Ravery. I'm not sure. I don't have my glasses. I can't really tell. But caller, you are at, hold on, this might be, well, anyway, I'm going to open up your mic anyway. I'm not sure who it is. But anyway, caller, you are at 2034. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Oh, peace and blessings. This is Sister Rahima Rahim.
Oh, this is Sister Rahima. Okay, great. Sister, you stay right there. And, okay, General Parker, you gave me another number for Sister Rahima, but that's okay. General Parker, if you're in queue, I need you to press 1 so that I can see you. Okay, very good. I see you now, too. Okay, not a problem. All right, family, this is what we're going to get ready to do. We're going to get ready to go to our lines. We're going to talk with our sister here, as you can hear her, as Sister Rahima, who you're getting ready to meet and talk to. And I'm going to bring in also General Parker, and we're going to talk about Tulsa, Oklahoma, and a lot more. You know, you all are familiar with how some of this stuff goes, which is how if it's not the government sending in entities to usurp or to get in the way, sometimes it's just Negroes doing it, period. All right. So either way, it's a problem. So what we have to now figure out is what we can do, what we must do. And so some of us have to some degree. So we're going to get more into that. But first, let me bring General Parker in, and then we're going to get with a little history. And then we're going to get with what's going on in the present. And then we're going to talk about the future. Okay, General Parker, greetings to you. Your mic is open also. And I'm hearing some background sounds.
Okay, is that an echo or what?
Okay, that's a little better, although it sounds like you're in a tunnel.
I had to go in a different room to try to get some quiet, so that's why.
Okay,
that.
Well, we hear you. At least it's quiet, so we hear you. We can deal with the tunnel sound. So thank you both for joining us. I tell you what might be helpful that would give us a better quality, and that is if you come off a speakerphone. Okay? Because sometimes that creates the background sound even more so, because your phone is like an amplifier. Okay, yep, that's much, much better. All right, now moving right along. So, again, welcome to General Parker and, of course, Sister Rahima. Sister Rahima, we're going to start with you. Could you share with our family a little bit about you, your organization or the organization you work with, and just, you know, kind of some of the things that you do. I know you do, like most Black women, a whole bunch of stuff, but share with us, you know, whatever you'd like to start things off with.
Oh, gee, thank you, Empress Chi. I don't talk about myself very much. I don't even know what to say. I can say that I came to Oklahoma nearly 20 years ago now. Somebody mm-hmm. married me and hauled me off here. And and wherever I go, I always start a newsletter, you know, to because that's the way, you know, people just need to know what's going on in their community. So I always mm-hmm. do that. So I started a newsletter, 8.5 by 14. And then a few months later, I moved to 11 by 17. And now I've gotten up to newsprint. And so that's my big thing is sharing with the community to let them know what's going on. I really, talking about Oklahoma, I'm just beginning to, actually about a few years ago when the food desert was here, I was shocked to find how many competent and talented people there are in Oklahoma. I mean, not just the Gap Band, but other folk who are intellectually capable of doing a lot of things. So my hope has always been in the people who, when the housing crash started back in 2008-2009, a lot of people left California and started coming back home. And my hope was with them because they had a lot of skills. While some had stayed here and maintained the land, others had gone off. You know, when the massacre hit, they had gone off and then decided, you know, they would come back. And so they come back mm-hmm. with skills. They come back with, you know, a lot of things. And some of them have come back with some fluff, especially guests. Who are here now? I'm experiencing a lot of fluff, mm-hmm. and it's almost mind-boggling because the people are pretty simple. They, you know, as a matter of fact, one person was complaining about getting volunteers, and he said these people and they just do not want to volunteer. That I don't understand, and they were complaining. And so one lady who does a lot of volunteering, she says, "Well, it's not like that. It's just that in Tulsa, when you volunteer in North Tulsa, you don't get paid. But like mm-hmm. I know someone who practices tennis, who teaches tennis in North Tulsa, doesn't get paid, but she goes to another part of the city, and the city will pay her." And so when I came, the motto was, never let them rise again. I found out last year, a Caucasian told me that the motto now is, you can't get out of North Tulsa if you don't play ball. So they built a $7 million, and you could, you know, probably pull it up on your cell phone right now, a $7 million gym on Peoria, you know, about the 5,000 block, I guess, 5,000 block, where the school is. But they educate the children. They put a lot of the boys in special education because that helps to pull in more money, and then they take that money and farm it out to other schools. I read mm-hmm. somewhere that the population, I think, for the public school system in Tulsa is 23%. 23% of the people are Caucasian, of the students are Caucasian. So you know what mm-hmm. that means. They, you know, they're taking and putting that money into the better schools. Now, Booker mm-hmm. T. Washington is in our community, and it also is a school that, I think the best school in the country. It was rated last year. Mm-hmm. But children right in the neighborhood can't go to that school. A lot of them can't even go to that school. So they're bringing their a lot of people from different nationalities and especially Caucasian to be educated in that school. Why? Because we have the best teachers, you know, and there's certain things they can duplicate a lot of things, but they cannot duplicate our creativity and the heart that we have for a lot of things like Langston University. I read that, you know, they're building and you can look at this, it's on Greenwood as well. Mm-hmm. I've read that they had started a health center because nobody can beat us at nursing. You know, we have the heart for it. But so they can't take that away. So what they are doing, they're building a facility, a nursing facility, they call it Allied Health Service. But when you are graduated, the degree will read OSU. It won't read Langston. So mm-hmm. I hope by now somebody has started a degree on that. So they are the kinds of things that we go through, you know, in this community. Yeah. And I right now I just want to stop and let you question me because there's so much going through my head because I, you know, it's a lot of stuff just going on right now, just trying to get through this pilgrimage that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I just want to stop and see if you have any questions that I might be able to answer.
Okay, well, before we go to your questions, we're going to bring General Parker in. And I want to also talk a little bit about, give folks a little bit of history, because there may be someone listening that don't know what happened almost 100 years ago. But before we talk about that, General Parker, just let folks know a little bit about you. General Parker?
Okay, there you go. You know, Dr. Fillet, I'm just a little bitty old ugly man. Ain't nothing much to tell about me.
Yes, I know. But still, you know how when you meet someone, you like to, like, just know a little bit about them. And so our program, you know, our program is like a family kind of structure. So,
right.
You know, so please just share a little bit about you. I heard Sister Rahima said earlier she don't talk about, and a lot of black women are like that, but I'm going to tell you, well, I'll tell you about that later, that we got to change a little bit of that.
Been very modest, too, see, because she's from your neck of the woods, and she's a teacher, and she's done a lot of things in the past that she, I don't know why she does that all the time.
Oh, I do. And I'll, again, in the near future, I will tell you about that. There's a history about some of that, and we have to change it because what's happening with our young girls, if black women don't own up to what we do, then they look at other women and what they're doing and then try to emulate them. You see what I'm saying? See, they look at white women, or they look at Asian women.
Right.
So this is a little bigger than before, and our sisters got to recognize and realize it's okay. It's okay to talk about you, particularly in the context when you're talking about young girls who really need that kind of information and guidance, and they need to hear it. And it's not about boasting or ego or whatever somebody might want to label you. That's a way to keep you in place, really, when they tell you that in our sense. Own up to what the ancestors, what the Creator gave you. That's what I've learned. And with that, we'll come up with a much stronger, not only women, but stronger community, stronger families. Okay, but I'm sorry, I digress. Go ahead. Go ahead, General. Tell us a little bit about you, please.
Yeah, I'm General Parker. I'm from Peoria, Illinois, and I'm a member of Black Wall Street USA, and that's how Sister Rahima and I came in contact. And I have been telling Black Wall Street for a couple of years now they need to start getting ready for 100-year anniversary of the massacre, especially since we named after Black Wall Street. So, mm-hmm. but I've been an advocate for fathers' rights, non-custodial parents, housing reform, immigration reform, and criminal justice reform advocacy. And that's mostly what I do now. As a matter of fact, I'm one of the 10 people that Van Jones hired to lobby to get the First Step Act passed. So we got that passed, and I even got friends that came home because of that who thought they were going to die in prison. So, so after about a year of asking Black Wall Street what were they doing about this 100-year commemoration, I decided to get in touch with the people in Tulsa and see if they needed any help, because I didn't want what needed to be done to be hijacked. And that's exactly what happened. And that's how I got in touch with Sister Rahima. And I went down there in February, and I've been down there working with her ever since.
Okay. All right. So very briefly, let's just recap. What happened 100 years ago? Almost 100 years ago.
Sister Rahima, you want to take that?
No, sir. I don't want to talk about the past.
Oh, you want me to talk about it?
Present.
Okay, so we got to make sure. Yeah, we got to, from historical perspective, we have to make sure, because as I said, some might not know. They might not have ever heard. Right. So just a few minutes, just to recap.
Yeah, General Parker is better at that than I am, Princess Chi.
Okay, General Parker, you got it.
Even before 100 years ago, let's say probably back in the 1800s, the Native Americans, there was a removal of them. And they were sent to that territory there in Oklahoma. And they went there through the Trail of Tears. And a lot of African-Americans ended up going with them because some of us were slaves to some of these tribes. So we walked the Trail of Tears. We came to Oklahoma. We settled here with them. We interacted with them, with our culture and families and everything else. And there were a couple of businessmen who decided to leave, along with a lot of other blacks, because they felt they had a better chance in Oklahoma because of all the Jim Crow laws and everything that were coming up at the time after slavery. So, there was O.W. Gurley, and there was another businessman, I can't think of his name at that, so I apologize.
A.C. Jackson?
That's him. And they bought a lot of land. And matter of fact, Mr. Gurley, he bought 40 acres at the time, put a couple of rooming houses on there, and people who wanted to come to Tulsa came there, and he named that district Greenwood after, I believe, the city he was from Mississippi. And even got the first street there named Greenwood. And that's where the Black Wall Street was designated, between Greenwood, Archer, and Pine. And where's the east side, Sister Rahima?
The east side of Greenwood?
I know there's Pine, on the north, there's Archer on the south, there's Greenwood on the west. What was the eastern boundary?
Well, Greenwood is just the street in the middle. The west side would be the Martin Luther King Boulevard, and the east side would be Peoria. They're the major streets, you know, that Greenwood sets between.
Okay, well, I'm looking at
between.
Pine Street to the north, Archer Street, and the Frisco tracks to the south, Cincinnati Street on the west, and Lansing on the east side. So
yes,
I don't know exactly what Lansing was. I thought Peoria Street might have been one of the boundaries on the east.
Yeah, it's a little further over to the east, right.
Yeah. Okay,
but Lansing is a smaller street. It doesn't go all the way through like Peoria does. So we just say Peoria.
Anyway, at the time, there was starting to be a lot of white resentment, because the white residents from Tulsa, they called that area Little Africa. Booker T. Washington came there, and he called it the Black Wall Street District, because they had so many different businesses there, and they all interacted and they all interchanged, and there were over 250 different businesses there. And I mean, they had like bus lines, they had airplanes, they had restaurants, they had professional services like lawyers and doctors. They even had they had the restaurant, they had the nightclubs, they had banks, they had a library, they had a hospital. So it was a self-contained community, and the money that went into the community changed hands at least 19 times before it left the community. Now they say if there's a dollar made now, it leaves the community within 2 hours, you know. But the whites were getting more and more jealous of the black success, and the more successful these blacks got, the more they kept expanding out. So white folks were getting upset talking about they were moving into white territory, which they didn't like. But, you know, if you got the money, you can go where you want. But
that's right.
Anyway, this resentment had been building up and building up. So there was an accusation made that a young man who was a shoeshine boy had stepped on the foot or assaulted a white elevator operator girl. And so he was arrested. And then there was a mob that came down there because they wanted to lynch him. But at this time, this had been 2 years after the Red Summer, where they had went through America and lynching and killing and burning and destroying other black cities. So I guess Tulsa was going to be the last one, you know, that they had to get rid of. And but by then, you had World War One veterans who were black who came back, who wasn't going to put up with it. So there was a group of probably about 25 brothers who had got their rifles and shotguns, and they went down to the sheriff's office, and they were going to help the sheriff to protect the young brother. What was his name, Sister Rahima? I don't know why I can't think of it right now. Sister Rahima?
We're not hearing you, Sister Rahima.
I was muted. I'm sorry, I muted the phone because I was having reactions.
What was his name? Dick something, wasn't it?
But go ahead.
What was his name? Dick something?
Dick Rowland.
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 Yeah, Dick Rowland.
R-O-W-L-A-N-D.
Okay, right. They went down there to help the sheriff. The sheriff said he didn't need the help. So they left. But by then, another group of white folks came back, and it was even more this time. So the second time the brothers came back, there was about 75 of them to about 2,000 white boys. But this time the white boys confronted the brothers, you know, asking them what they plan on doing with that gun. And the brother told him he's going to use it if he have to. So the white boy tried to grab it from him and take it from him, and the gun went off. So that's when all hell broke loose. So they went through, and because of that one altercation, they went through Black Wall Street, and they burned down at least 36 city blocks, not just businesses, but houses and everything else. And they were burning up the houses, and the people ran out. They shot them. They killed them. The sheriff was issuing guns and deputizing white folks to go to try to keep the black folks under control, even though it was the white folks who were causing all the confusion. They ran everybody out of the Black Wall Street district and ran them north, where most of the descendants of survivors and even the survivors live now in Tulsa, in North Tulsa. But they don't even know the number of people that were killed. They're estimating it was 300. Today there was a mass grave that they're still looking for it, aren't they, Sister Rahima?
Yes, sir.
And they just burnt everything down. There was nothing left. And then even after that, they kept harassing and oppressing the black folks because they never wanted them to build back whatever they had before. So for the next 100 years, matter of fact, it was an unwritten rule that they weren't even supposed to speak about that. It wasn't taught in the schools. It wasn't printed in the papers. Even though at the time, photographers took pictures of the carnage and made a lot of money off of it, you know. But for the next 50-something years. Nobody ever spoke about it till there was a reporter that worked for the, and he found out about it. And even though he had to risk losing his job, he told the story and came out with it back in the 70s. And ever since then, things have been evolving to the point where we're at today. So.
Wow. Okay.
I just want to make one reminder. Mm-hmm. Empress T, if I may, I just want to remind her that it was more of a bombing than a burning. Remember?
Okay.
But mm-hmm. They bombed the.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Just burning.
Yeah, they bombed. Yeah, that's the part I left out. So they got in the planes and they bombed the people from up above. So it just went, and then it was what was that Sand Up Hill? What's the name of that hill, Sister Rahima?
Oh, Sand Hill, I think it is. Yeah, they just built it up at OSU
and they had a machine gun up there where they mowed down people with that machine gun.
Wow.
No matter what the people ran, you could talk to Mother Fletcher. She did a press conference about 2 weeks ago. She's 107 years old. She was a little girl at the time. She said all she remembers is, you know, the hollering and the screaming. So and she had to get out of the house, and it wasn't no time to talk about anything, you know. And she didn't understand what was going on. So they had to leave their home. And these people stole their property and stuff afterwards, too. But before they burned out some of these homes and bombed, they went in and looted everything, too. See?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about we mad that you stepped on this white girl's foot. They've been wanting to take the property of black folks that have been working hard all these years anyway.
I add to that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wanted to add the interesting thing about this is that it reminds me of the last time I went down the country and was shocked to find the people down the country dressed better than the people in the city. And I said, where'd you all get this stuff from? And they said, the mail order house, Sears and Roebuck. So Sears at the Roebuck actually was a black man who had a development, as you all know, probably in Chicago, right? And all these country people, they were, you know, there were no malls or stores that they could go and buy stuff, but there was the Sears catalog. And so Sears and Roebuck catalog, so they could. And so these people had all kinds of things. One lady had a white baby grand piano in her home, and later on saw it in some other white woman's home. So just like Brother General Parker was saying, you know, they looted the place. I was also told that people they had the Boy Scouts because in those days people had garages and they would leave the doors open. Nobody, you know, like back in the day when Al we went to bed with the screen door shut, they would have the garage doors open, so these little white boys were coming in, throwing something into the garages on the walls, and I read later that was some kind of thing that would make it inflame, it would burn faster. You know, and so they absolutely did loot the people's homes because they had all this, you know, because when the oil bomb, oil boom came, of course, that trickled also down. There were plenty of black people who had oil wells in their yards.
Mm-hmm.
So they had money and they spent it, you know, lavishly because. You know, we are people who came from royalty, you know, and we just like nice stuff. You know? So we had a lot of nice stuff that the white folks. As a matter of fact, the whites would come over into Greenwood to borrow money where their banks wouldn't loan it to them. You know, they would come over there and borrow money. So and they also were doing international trade. One brother had planes with an S on it, and he was doing, you know, transportation business, you know, with his planes. His life is very interesting. So I think it would be a great thing to read about some of these great people.
Wow.
Thanks
Wonderful.
For letting me
share. Right. Thank you. Absolutely. And that's why I said history. You know, we're going to talk about the present, but history is so important. And if we don't teach it or bring it to the forefront, best believe somebody else won't. And not only that, they be adding and subtracting so much stuff from it, you don't even know the hours anymore. You know? So we have to do it ourselves. Okay.
You know, funny you say that, sisters.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Because I got an uncle who's 82, and we had a discussion about 3 or 4 years back, and he kept saying, I don't know why black folks, they never got together, you know, and try to do things together and have their own and all that. I said, we did, you know. He said, no, they black folks ain't never done. I said, haven't you ever heard of Black Wall Street before? He said, no, I ain't never heard of that, you know. And it's just so crazy. And I had to show him that, you know. Matter of fact, I had to show him some of Black History flashcards that show what we had.
Wow.
I had to let him know that wasn't even the only one that we had, you know. So
right.
It was just crazy that we built these Katomas up, you know. Just because they don't see it, they believe it ain't there, you know. And they just think bad about our own people when they just don't know. See, they don't know the history.
Wow. All right. So we're going to now jump into the present and the future, meaning now we talked about how we know the reason. I was going to say for whatever reason, how some of the things are being co-opted. And what I mean by that is, of course, there's going to be a lot of activities coming up this week as part of the 100-year commemoration. And, of course, with talking with Sister Rahima, we realized, or at least I realized, that a lot of the activities, for the most part, is going to be uptown. And, of course, that's not really where the black folks live at. So for the present... downtown. So for the present, we're again looking at how our black community there is, of course, kind of being, if not overlooked, certainly there's a sidetracking going on, and the monies that could benefit the masses that are in a specific section of Oklahoma, they're not getting that. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, an example of that is, I think, probably about 10 years ago, Tulsa was deemed a food desert. And so the federal government sent someone down to help assuage that. And so this man came down. Actually, we found out later he was a seed distributor from upstate New York, because, you know, New York is a farming state itself. That's how Wall Street actually got started. And so he came down, and when he left, or actually when he died, because he was homosexual and he died from whatever you call it, what we had when he died was farmers markets. He was supposed to create farmers markets and people who wanted to get their yards dug up, you know, so that they are tilled so that they could plant, you know, he could take care of that. So he came down, and the next thing we knew, we had to go downtown or Midwest or Midwest South to meetings in the, they would hold the meetings in an Indian health center. When holding the meetings in North Tulsa, I think they dug up about three, you know, small lots in the back of people's yards, and I was there for two of them, and it was just, they had gone to somebody's house and got a tiller and brought it in to, you know, in other words, they didn't put, and the only thing that they put in that was new, I got them to put in a garden and a school. Actually, there wasn't even in, it was in more in Turley. It was in Turley where the Caucasians lived mostly. But so I got them to put in a fence because the ARP, I was with the ARP, I am with the ARP, and they were putting in and we were teaching, working in the school, you know, assisting with the children. And so I got them to put in a garden in this school. The farmers markets that are in the city are in other parts of the city, not one in Tulsa. Now, a sister about a couple of years ago went down on Greenwood and started, I think it was Berry Park right across from Langston, University started a farmer's market. And so mm-hmm. there were some Caucasians down there with her, and they had this, I don't even remember what it was, but I was loud talking them about, what are you doing? I mean, you're not offering anything, and I was sharing the past. And so she got very upset with me and says, I'm trying to put a farmer's market here. You're making it difficult for me. So I backed mm-hmm. off. And now down to this centennial something, they have kicked her off Greenwood, and she's up at the top of Greenwood. If you look at Greenwood and Pine, and then you look across the street, you will see where mm-hmm. the Morton Hospital Clinic used to be. It was closing down around about 2002. And so now she has set up off, over there between the hospital and the mm-hmm. library. And of course, mm-hmm. the hospital, where it used to be a hospital, she set up there with some artists and they pump the artwork, because of course we're good. And the other thing is, if you have a lot of artwork in a city, that implies that you are a rich city, a well off city. They pump a lot of that and make black people think that the artists. What's the name of that football player, the retired brother, Dental Parker, who bought the Brady House? And I understand he turned the whole first floor into an art, like for artists to come and do whatever they do. So I'm sure Brady would turn it over his grave.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with him.
Yeah, that's the one who had the theater. That's one of the places that they kept the men in when they decided to lock them up. And then after they locked the men up after the massacre, they realized they really didn't have any good workers, so they had to let them out, to start letting them out so they could go back to work.
Okay.
I'm sorry, wow. I got back into the past.
So now we have
Langston that they, and when I came, Langston was down where OSU is. They had some kind of a partnership where they were sharing the building. And the next thing you know, they had pushed them out and built them this building further up the street that has no cafeteria, no refectory, no auditorium. If you want to, I remember they did a health fair down there. They had to do it in the hall. Somebody has done a fashion show down there in the hall. I mean, the school is not equipped to be a university, but that's how they do. So when you come to Greenwood, you'll get a chance to see Langston and go in it. They built it about maybe 10, 15 years ago. You'll get a chance to see it.
So I've been looking at, quite a bit of reports and articles and footage. They seem to be doing construction stuff, and as you indicated, it appears that is downtown. What is it, some kind of museum or some kind of thing that's being built, some large facility? Is that correct? That's being built downtown,
right?
Well,
they're building the health center for Langston. That's one of the things they're building, but they're building all over. Matter of fact, they're building all over the country. There seems to be this influx of money for construction, and houses are going up, and the housing is going up. And so Tulsa, and so because housing is going up, you have more and more Caucasians breaking their necks to get into North Tulsa. I have a friend, I'm too busy to cry about it right now, mm-hmm. but I have a friend mm-hmm. who has a house that she's Hebrew Israelite, actually, and she's very proud of the house because the woman who lived in it before, she bought it from, built the house from the ground up. I think she paid like $17,000 for it. And so she's never had any pork in that house, and so she's very proud of this house. And so she decided that she's tired of gardening, and she's living alone, and she wants to go into a senior citizens building and sell the house. And I'm trying to ask her, please do not sell that to a Caucasian. Mm-hmm. So anyway, to make a long story short, next week, God willing, we will have a brother here named Paul Miller, who I understand is the founder of actually Habitat for Humanity, which they stole from mm-hmm. him. And he will be here to talk about, you know, some of the things that you have to look forward to. Now, I was in a house with some people about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and this lady, beautiful house. I mean, you know, old spigots. I mean, everything just old and intact and beautiful hardwood floors. And so these Caucasians, so we asked her about the shoot. Said they were going to move. We asked her about the house. We were so excited. And she says, oh, no, well, I'm going to sell it to, I've already promised it to these white folks. And the next thing you know, this is what they do. And they even did this twice to one lady who really knows what they were doing, but she got caught up. What they do is they come in and they tell you, I want this house. And they went, I want this house. Don't sell it to anybody else. And you go through all this paperwork and get right down to the end of it. And then after a few days, they change their mind. But the way you set your stuff up, you're in a jam. Like these people had already planned to move somewhere else and had, you know, put in money and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And then they come and change their mind. So you're stuck. And then they'll have a friend come in later with a much cheaper price because you got to sell it now. You've got to sell it, you know. We had somebody move back to Mississippi who went through that same thing twice. I don't know how they got it the second time because they knew, but she was anxious to get, you know, her husband was ready to retire from the police force, and they were anxious to get back to Mississippi. And the next thing you know, the white folks pulled out at the last minute, and then you wind up having to sell the house cheaper than you had intended. So they do all kinds of things to get the property. And, Some black people are buying property just to try to maintain it and to keep white folks from getting it. But then, you know, there are a lot of people. As a matter of fact, one lady, I was at a metro store, and she was upset because she had taken somebody downtown. They were going to sign their property over. And she said, well, why are you selling your people's property? And the woman said, because I'm tired of begging for drugs. I'll have my own money for drugs if I sell this property. And that's why she sold the property, for chicken feed. I mean, one person sold two lots for $7,000 with a house and all kinds of stuff on that property. $7,000 for two lots and a house fenced in. I mean, it's just sad, you know, because the children, a lot of the parents have not really taught the children business, you know, like you know, we discovered that, as a matter of fact, the Nation of Islam put this out, when Morgan State and Howard University were, what, Howard was a some kind of school, when Congress, and it was 1887, I think, when Congress around that time agreed to open those schools, They said there are three things you cannot teach in the schools. That's the art of mating, the art of business, and the art of war. So you couldn't teach business, you couldn't teach marriage, and you couldn't teach, you know, how to protect yourself. And so those things weren't taught when the schools first opened. And so our children, you know, like, say, the people at Black Wall Street had a lot of money, a lot of them, you know, I don't want my children, you've heard grandparents say this, or parents even say, I don't want my children to go through what I went through. And say, so they don't, like the Kennedys had a newspaper route when they were 5 and 6 years old, you know. But we think our children are too good, so we dress them up and you know, let them lie in bed half the day, you know, instead of teaching them how to farm, which is where most of the money is. You know, they got these Caucasians on the TV, you know, with all this technology, farming, and our children laughing at farming because they think it's old fashioned. But we've got to change that. Yeah. That's some of the learning that we also have to put out there. That's one of the present plans.
Well, when I came down in Tulsa, Empress Tree, what was going on at the time was there was a Tulsa Race Commission that was put together. And mm-hmm. they were supposed to study what had happened at the massacre and what had happened since. They were supposed to be putting some things in place to help the survivors and descendants of the massacre, but mm-hmm. that didn't happen, and it is not mm-hmm. happening. And what's going on is you got all these folks that with this commission, and it weighs, from what I heard, somewhere around $100 million. You know,
wow.
And wow. They designated $30 million for this commemoration, which still ain't helping nobody north of 36th Street in North Tulsa. Okay. Everything that's gonna happen next weekend, it's all downtown. You got the Congressional Black Caucus. They'll be there. Stacey Abrams, she's supposed to be the keynote speaker. I just found out John Legend, supposed to be headlining as one of the entertainers. Everybody's downtown, and everybody's taking the story of the survivors and their descendants and the things that happened to their parents and grandparents, and they're making a lot of money off these folks' stories. But these folks aren't getting to die. So that's where a lot of the problem is coming in now, and that's why we're holding another event north of there in North Tulsa, this pilgrimage that's going to be held. And so it's different organizations, along with what Sister Rahima has now is Wall Street North Tulsa, where she uses to put her paper out. And there's also going to be a century walk on June the 1st that's going to be held by this young lady named L. Joy McConduchy. And I just seen a press conference that her grandmother put out, you know, so. I mean, there's a lot of rich history there, and we're going to have a lot of different events going on. There's Miss Billy Parker. She runs the Black Wall Street Museum there. So the Huey Newton okay. Gun Club, they'll be showing up there.
Okay.
So
Go
ahead.
May I comment on the what happened was it was in the news, and this is how they do. They always give the horrible news about Tulsa. And so they announced that there were some men downtown. They didn't give the name. But there were some men downtown, some black men downtown. Well, they didn't say black men, but, you know, they showed the pictures that are trying to get permits for guns. And it's so interesting because they were going to have this gun show at Billy Parker's place. What happens is,
it was a permit for the parade to do that march.
Right.
That's what they were applying for, the permits for that. But they already had their guns, and they're all legal and stuff already. So.
Right. But so they put it on the news. But the interesting thing, whatever they were planning on doing, the interesting thing was that they have gun shows all the time. Those other folk have big bulletin boards about the gun shows that they have. But when we try to have a gun show or something like that, then it's a big hoopla. You know, they make a big deal out of it.
All right. So before we close out, a quick question. Now, actually, there's a couple of questions. And family, I'm going to give you an opportunity now. If you have a question or comment, you can press 1, and we'll certainly get you in. But we just have a text in that had a couple of questions, but I have one before we go to that, and that is, what if black folks wanted to invest, Sister Rahima, invest in the area that you and other black folks are in that really want to see the community thrive again and so forth? Is there the opportunity to do that?
The best thing you can invest in North Tulsa is land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just land. I mean, I'm a sticker for physical stuff. I'm a sticker for gold, silver, you know, copper, land.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And so the land is, you know, the land is here. It's relatively cheap. And that's why so many other folk are moving in, because, you know, it's hard to get, you know, property for, you know, at the prices that you can get it here in Tulsa. So land is the main issue.
All right. All right, sisters, y'all heard that. So that's going to be one of our topics when we do our convention in a few months, the Black Women's Political Convention. And brothers, too, we're not leaving you out. But definitely that's going to be a topic for the Black Women Political Convention to look to see how we can do some collective and individual. We've got to do some investing. That's just the bottom line. And what a better way than to do it with some other Black folks. So thank you, Sister Rahima. I'm glad you I mean, that's what we were thinking about, but you just certainly confirmed what our thoughts were. And when I come down there, we'll talk more about that so that when I do go to the convention, we'll have some specifics that we're able to put on the table. Okay,
yes,
let's see. We had a question. Our sister Tandy texted in a question. She's doing some traveling, but she was able to text us. So she wanted to know about the remains. Now, of course, here in Philadelphia, there's a big thing going on with the remains of the Move family, the bombing that happened here. And by the way, I think Tulsa was the first actual bombing. Would I be correct about that in terms of a town or a Black
right.
community? Right. Okay. So of course, the Move bombing, or the bombing of the Move house headquarters, and then of course the officials saying let it burn, which of course resulted in an entire block with 64 homes going up in flames, and of course 11 people being murdered. Now here in Philadelphia, again, there's lots going on with that, which of course Sister Janine will give us some updates on that tomorrow for our session that starts at 1 o'clock. But what Sister Tangie is asking is about the remains. I mean, now that's a real issue, do you know if in fact, and this was kind of what the question lends to, were the remains placed in museums or in some other kind of, you know, keeping as they have done with the remains here in Philadelphia? Has anyone investigated that or have come up with any information about that?
Well, they've done some investigations. I think a lot of it is a political ploy. They, you know, people tell them where to dig. They dig where they want to dig. They dug up one girl's grandmother, and the woman was laid up in a coffin. I mean, she was put away properly. She wasn't dumped, you know. I don't know if John Legend knows that he's going to be singing on top of the grounds where they did the bombing. And I was told that there were men, you know, they had Black men working there doing the digging, and they were finding skulls and everything. And they told me, well, if you tell anybody, you know, you're going to get fired. And so they, I guess they told maybe later, but they built a and that's what they do. I mean, in Baltimore, it's the same thing. They build parking lots, garages, and ball games on top of sacred ground where our ancestors are. And so they built a cute little ball field. I don't know if they've ever won a game in there, but I just look at it. It's weird. I would never go in there. And very few Black people actually go in there. You know, maybe somebody who's not from Tulsa. I saw a lady walking out with two of her little children, and I wanted to catch her and ask her, how did you feel in there, you know? But they know. Well, see, this is the thing. The Caucasians know where things are because they are the ones who perpetrated this. They know.
Right.
When Oprah Winfrey came to Tulsa she wanted to do a dramatization, and we went down there. Half the people down there were Caucasian with scripts that they wanted to present. Half of them, at least half of them were Caucasian, of about 50 people. So they know the history. They just, you know, I guess they're telling it in a different kind of a way.
Yeah.
They know about it.
Also that was supposed to be one of the missions of the commission. Is to find the mass graves and to inter the bodies to a separate site where they can be buried properly. But
they make money off of whatever it is.
Sure.
And that was also one of the four. I believe that was one of the four requests that the Justice for Greenwood organization is putting together. there's a young brother there named, he's an attorney, his last name is Solomon, and he's representing Mother Fletcher, the mayor of Solomon Simmons, and he's representing Mother Fletcher and the other survivors and the descendants of Greenwood, and that's one of the issues they had brought up. The other one was that they get rid of the mayor of Tulsa and the governor off the commission. They got rid of the governor. I think they're still working to get the mayor off and to make sure that they had actual people who were affected by the massacre, you know, i.e. the descendants or the survivors of the massacre, to be a part of the commission. Matter of fact, be a majority of the commission. And they want to make sure that the money that was raised go to the survivors and the descendants of the massacre, which they haven't done. So those are some of the things that they're hoping for and fighting for right now. So, oh, and like I said, they'll make sure the bodies are found and buried properly.
Well, we were certainly planning to have a present this matter. We trust in 521, certainly in this case or this situation.
You're drifting away, Empress G.
I'm sorry, say it again?
You're drifting away.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I was saying that, of course, this will be cited when we present the We Charge Center 521 information. Of course, this is a three-year project. And with that said, we plan to really highlight some very specific things. And that's going to be one of them. We want to show that not only the kinds of consistency of systemic and institutionalized racism from the government, but also how that is represented or has been represented in the actual citizenry, the society, the culture of America throughout the U.S. We're going to demonstrate and show that. And so we will be doing the research and compiling the data. And, of course, you know, this destruction, this horrendous behavior that these people have shown us over and over again is now going to be shared with the world. That's the whole point. We want to make sure that the world, just like you said about someone, General Parker, your uncle, I think you said, didn't even know right here in America. We're finding right in Philadelphia, people who didn't know about the moon bombing, and what went on here with that destruction. So we've got to make sure that our people know about these things in our communities, but also that the world community knows, because this is what's going to help bring America to its knees when it's kind of shown the hypocrisy that is, in fact, a reality. We call it the hypocrisy of their democracy. We have to show that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have the world thinking that, oh, you know, the home of the brave and the land of the free and all this old nonsense. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people have to see and know that this is not true. This is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the situation with Tulsa, like Wall Street, the situation with, of course, the Moore family, and a neighborhood of the Cobbs Creek area here in Philadelphia, we're going to show just what these people do. And we found, believe it or not, and I'm sure all of you know, we have now found other atrocities, other burnings of towns, you know. And so we're going to be presenting some of that too. But certainly two bombings and one 100 years ago, oh, my gosh. Anyway, family, if you have a comment or a question, we would like for you to press 1 now, and we certainly will bring you into the conversation. I'm planning to do a Recharge Genocide Forum when I come. Hopefully we will be able to do that, and if nothing else, of course, we will make sure we have flyers available as well to help our people to know more about what we're talking about when we say human rights. Okay. So I'm certainly looking forward to seeing General Parker again. Haven't seen him since my last trip to Chicago, and certainly looking forward to meeting you
Sister Rahima.
Okay, thank you, Empress Chia, like as well.
Yeah, look at the screen. I'm surprised no one has any questions or comments. Oh, I'm surprised at you all tonight. Okay. All right. Well, since you don't have any more questions or comments, thank you, Tanji, for sending yours in. And, you know, just to recap that question, you know, I'm sure somebody has some ashes or some souvenirs, because one of the pieces that we've researched in, that took place in Florida, these people literally were taking souvenirs after they was killing our people. They were taking souvenirs home of their body parts.
And body parts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And body parts.
Yes. Absolutely. So I think that's why Sister was asking, did we know for certain? Because, you know, they didn't care. They would remember, they was hanging people and putting them on postcards.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, I had to send a letter. Right, I'm sorry. I had to send a letter to an imam, because he was talking about they were going to have a picnic this Sunday. And I was explaining to him that we don't use that word, you know, and a lot of our people don't even know that. We don't use that word, you know, because
that's
it
right.
meant pick a nigger day. You just pick a man walking down the street and decide you're going to hang him. And then they have the pictures that, I mean, they're all over the place that you see this, you know, they're celebrating. And he's hanging up on a tree. So, yeah. It's a lot we need to learn. But older people, I can remember when people said, no, don't say cookout, say barbecue, don't say that. You know, they would shudder when you say picnic. I've seen them do that, and I didn't understand why, but, you know, that's the reason. So but we have a lot to learn and a lot to teach.
Absolutely. Well, my brother and sister, I thank you both for sharing this information. Again, give us the dates of when your events are going to be held.
Well, May 27th to June the 1st.
Okay.
And in North Tulsa, I just want to quickly run down. We're going to have a welcome service at Timothy Baptist Church, just to open up, you know, and pray to, you know, the One Most High for to protect us. And the travelers and everything that's going on. So we'll start, like, people can pick up their packets at 7-6 at the church. And then one young lady, Danielle, started 100 Years, 400 Vendors. So that'll be going on. People will be setting up their, you know, their spaces. And then there's supposed to be a housing workshop at the Tulsa Teacher Community College. And with Brother Paul Miller, the one I told you about, it started the Habitat for Humanity before they took it from him. And then we want to tour the museums if we can get some buses to help us to go. We want to tour museums and also tour, like, one day North Tulsa, one day Greenwood, you know, like that. And then there'll be a dashiki fest at the Black Wall Street Market with Sister Billy Parker. And, you know, and there will also be hopefully a gun show and the Century Walk, which will be one of the last things to happen. And then after that, we plan to have a candlelight vigil at the cemetery, the Black Cemetery in North Tulsa planned. You know, the other little things are going on. And we'll be moving around, you know, downtown. A lot of downtown, I understand, is going to be cordoned off because they have all these big-time people coming. You know what happens when all these big time celebrities come, you know, you can't get within, you know, a block of them. So, you know, we know people will be venturing uptown.
Plus, there'll be many vendors there.
You did mention it. John Legend is due to perform, so he's pretty.
Yeah, right on top of our ancestors in the ballpark. I don't know if he knows that.
Okay. You know, I think about it because I remember when they were doing something in New York and trying to build over the burial grounds of our ancestors in New York. The folks in New York City.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, you
no,
think
you're
so?
Not. Yep, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was a powerful move. I loved it. And they won. Mm-hmm. We won on that one. So,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but of course, from what I'm gathering, and I used to remember going as a child, going down south, and I never really liked it because it was just so obviously, and I didn't know anything about racism or anything like that, but I didn't really like it. I knew that. So it sounds like the mentality is still very much there. Would it be safe to say?
Very much.
Yeah, the mentality is it's sad. I mean, but then it gets back to what you're saying about our people, because I right now I have to compromise a lot of things I plan to do because they just, you know, I just can't even go into it. It's amazing. I'm realizing that people who were talking to me doing things, it was just fluff. And so a lot of things we plan to do, we won't be doing because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't follow through. Mm-hmm. It's just so somebody has gotten them to, you know, come and sabotage, you know, things that we planned. And I didn't think it would happen to me because I was staying away from everybody.
Yeah,
but it's happening. So when Brother Jim and Parker gets down here, we'll work it out. So, God willing.
So I'm very familiar with it. Believe you me, I've had on several occasions. People tell me, "Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." Yeah, I got you. Shoot. Next time, next thing I look is like, where, what, who, what? Nope. Totally left hanging. So I've learned not to ever depend on anything like that again. Not ever. I had my last run of that one. But anyway, again, I thank both of you for sharing this information. Again, I'm a little surprised we didn't have any callers that had some questions, but it's okay. We're going to move right along. I'm going to give you both a couple of minutes to give your closing comments. And I am certainly looking forward to coming down there and for building what we have to build for the future. That's what I'm looking forward to. So, Sister Hima, let's get your closing comments for tonight.
Well, I'm just very thankful to have been on the line and, you know, being able to expose some of the experiences that we've had and share some of the history that people, you know, may not know about, unusual history that people may not know about. And I'm just excited to be able to just think, you know, that I'm going to meet Empress Chi. You know, it's time for us to have an Empress because we're getting ready to have an Empire. You know, the Empire, you know, is striking back.
Right.
So I'm just very excited to be on the line with this part. So thanks for letting me share tonight.
Indeed a pleasure. Indeed a pleasure. All right, Brother General Parker, your closing comments for tonight.
Well, Empress Shi, it's always an honor and a pleasure to be involved with you and anything that you're a part of. And I just want to say that if anybody's out there listening and they feel within their heart that they want to help out, because we did, like Sister Rahima said, fall short financially on a few things that we were trying to get accomplished. Because of what was done to hinder us from doing this work. My whole purpose of going down to Tulsa, and I did it on my own dime, you know. I wasn't looking for anything. I just wanted to make sure that our people were taken care of and they wasn't going to be looked over throughout this whole ordeal. And I want to make sure also that whatever that we were going to do that week from the 27th through the 1st, by June 2nd, whatever we had put in place was going to continue. I want to make sure that whatever business economic development that was going to develop, whatever we were going to do for our youth, for their education, for the financial stability of the survivors and the descendants of Greenwood, I want to make sure that that continued long after we left there and the party was over. So. But like I said, we fell short on a few things. So if anybody feels within their heart want to help out, I sure hope Sister Rahima leaves her contact information. But this ain't even about me. You know, I'm not looking for anything out of this. I want to make sure that these people are taken care of. And this 100-year carnage ends now. You know, it's been going on for too long. It's entirely too long. It needs to end.
Yeah,
right here, right now.
I'm glad you reminded me, Joel Parker. Sister Rahima, how can folks stay in contact with you?
Well, they can go to, let's see, they can go to, I don't know, because my stuff has just been so compromised. I they have my picture on things where they're collecting money, and it's diverted to something else. So I just have a P.O. Box 48593, P.O. Box 48953, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Email, in TulsaFocus@gmail.com. The letter N, the lowercase N, the word Tulsa, T-U-L-S-A, Focus, F-O-C-U-S, @gmail.com.
Okay.
So you can, contact me that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right.
And I want to encourage everyone, when you come down, we still, the mayor has, the governor has lifted the COVID protection, even though I believe it is a racket. At the same time, we have to protect ourselves, so I would encourage you to wear your mask, practice social distancing, and bring a little bit of rain gear. You've heard about the weather here, but what's really happening, well, actually, Tulsa is the safest place when it comes to heavy rain, because a few years ago, some people actually got drowned in North Tulsa.
Ooh,
and so the federal government insisted that they put in. So you'll see gullies that would take the water out. So it's really the safest place compared to the rest of the city. But when the rain, and it has rained every day, I guess, for the last couple of weeks. Well, I'll say every night, real heavy rains at night sometimes. But during the day, there may be a shower. It's been really wonderful. The weather's like mostly in the 70s right now. So I don't know what it'll be like next week. But, we just haven't had a serious rain problem during the day. It's mostly at night that it rains. So God has been good to us in this area, and we thank him. And we pray for the safety of everyone who comes. Just have your gear and your mask, and just be conscious. I was trying to get the city to do certain things, like turn the water hydrants on so people can just go wash their hands, when they're ready.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't even respond to my list of requests. But we're here, and it's a wonderful place. The people are absolutely, I've had many people say how wonderful the people in Tulsa are, well-mannered. The children are not the big issue. I mean, it's just it's a wonderful place to live. So we're looking forward to seeing you all and thanking you for this time. So, again, my email is ntulsafocus@gmail.com, and my P.O. box is P.O. Box 48593, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74148. Thanks for letting me share.
Wonderful. Absolutely. Well, we thank you, and certainly applaud
thank
the
you.
Work that you're doing and the good that it waits for us ahead. We're looking forward to being a part of that as well. And of course, General Parker, we thank you for hooking us up with the sister. Making sure that we can be a part of what we know is going to be a very powerful, powerful, not only commemoration, but now as we move forward to accomplish the things that we must. Again, one of the things that Bubba Kwame often said was, we must not fail our ancestors. And so we adopted that. That's right. We ain't going to fail our ancestors. So, that also
excellent.
Means we will not be failing ourselves or our children. So onward we go. All right, family, I will see you in a few days or so. And,
thank you.
Keep on keeping on.
We're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Peace and blessings.
Blessings to you.
Peace to you. Okay,
thank
family,
you.
We are going to move forward and I'm trying to see if Sister Pam is in queue. She does not often keep late hours, and I think we might have missed her.
because I think she was trying to get us earlier, and something happened. So what I'm going to do in the meantime, while I try to get her on another line, Mimia Abdul-Jamal, well, I tell you, you know, this is a perfect example of just, you know, blessing. What can I say? Because Mimia did, in fact, make a commentary. Wow. So I'm going to share that with you. Hold on one moment. And here we go.
This is August 8th. Because of the sheer passage of time, most people have forgotten August 8th, 1978.
No, sorry. Wrong one. Hold up. Give me a moment, family. That was not the one I wanted. So I have to try to find the other one. I just had it. Mumia just did another commentary, but now let's see where it is. Okay, let's try one more time. Now I can't find it. Wow, would you believe that? Okay,
I love when this kind of stuff happens, unfortunately. It is happening. Okay, we have one. Wow, this was even more recent than the other one I was going to play. So I did find the one that Mumia just did. I wasn't looking for it, but here it is. So I'm going to try to find the other one, the first one I wanted to find. But as it turns out, he has done another one. So let's go with that one.
From the book of the prophet, 37:3. For several weeks, the city of Philadelphia had put up the remnants of the Move bombing, May 13, 1985. It's about bones, the bones of babies, bombed into oblivion, and then, blithely, easily, carried away in suitcases, exhibited in college classes, in anthropology, for years, for decades. They were shot and bombed away from life. And then they were treated as playthings, trinkets for students. Then, just as easily, they were lost. Then found the remnants of babies, little black girls, just like the babies bombed in a black church by the Klan, bombed for their blackness in cities north and south. And while the Klan did their dirt in the south, the Tops did the same up north, here, in the city of brotherly love. What made this possible was the dehumanization projected by the city corporate media for more, they are, was subhuman. So media sounded the alarm in America. 36 years and still they play with bones. From imprisoned nations, this is Mumia Abdul-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded.
All right. So as you can tell, for those who were asking last week, Mumia is definitely, his health has improved considerably. I wanted Sister Pam to really come on to just tell you to just how amazing this thing has happened. I mean, it's just to me every indication that we're going to free him. He's going to get out of there. And so, unfortunately, I think Sister Pam might have already gone to sleep on us, which means we're going to have to bring her back next week. Or also, you can join us tomorrow, family. We will have tomorrow with us. Hold on one moment. Let me just check something here. Yep. Sister Janine will be joining us tomorrow. Starting at 1 o'clock, we're going to do our Reparatory Justice virtual summit that we, a conference that we've been doing for the past few months. We will be doing that tomorrow. And again, starting at 1 o'clock, we're going to have with us also Brother Brian
Muhammad will be joining us again. He did an excellent presentation today. Tomorrow he's going to talk about the genocide kinds of structures that's specifically designed for black women. That's right. Now, we know that, you know, this system wants to kill black people, period. But he's going to point out some very interesting things that specifically focuses on black women. So listen, you heard me say it before, but now we're going to give you the investigative information. Okay, so again, starting tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we will be on Zoom. And if you have not gotten the link or the call-in information, you can email us, of course, at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, and we will send you that information. I want to start using the chat room for a blog. I used to use it years ago, and I stopped doing it, but I'm going to start using it again so we can start putting stuff in the chat room, because we do have a chat room that if you're online, you can, in fact, use the chat room that's online for our blog talk for New Day. So we're going to start using that again. Let me see. Was one other thing with some numbers that we might have been able to give you for tomorrow. If you want to call in, if you give me a moment, I will pull that up. And again, we will have Sister Janine as well as Brother Brian Muhammad. Sister Janine Africa, of course, has, you know, came out after almost 41 years of incarceration. And she will definitely give us a report and an update on what's going on with what Mumia just told us about, the finding of the bodies that they just supposedly found after 36 years. And then, of course, the children that they've been using their remains to have classes with. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Also, we're going to talk about plebiscite tomorrow, what it is, why it is. Brother Jamoke will be talking with us about plebiscite. And with something else, something else that we were supposed to be bringing forward, other than, of course, the Malcolm X legacy collective is now in effect. You can now become a member of that. And also the Black Human Rights Network Collective is also now have membership for that. We thought we were going to have the website ready for you. Unfortunately, I will tell you all about that very soon. We did have it. It is there. But there's some trickery going on, and again, we will give you some updates on that. So I can't go into a lot of details yet. We have to redo another website, it appears. And again, next week, hopefully we will have that all worked out, and I will be more than happy to tell you what happened, because again, we're not going to allow people to do things to us anymore and we not tell you what they've done. All right, because too much of that has fallen back on us, and it wasn't us. It was people saying they're going to do things or whatever. So at any rate, we'll give you more information about that next week. In the meantime, let's see if there's anything that anyone wants to share with us before we close out for this session. And again, remember, tomorrow we will be starting at 1 o'clock. Give thanks to Brother Tep, who really was knocking it out the box today. And again, Sister Gabrielle is always on point. She helped to do the session on May 19th again, which was, of course, the tribute, the salute to our own shining black prince. And, of course, we're talking about Malcolm X. With that said, the We Talk Genocide 21 is a part of moving forward the legacies of Queen Mother Moore, Mother Callie House, William Patterson, Paul Robeson, and of course Malcolm X and others. And so tomorrow we will begin to give you more insight into what some of the initiatives and projects actually are, including some of the study sessions that are coming up, and of course some of the direct action kinds of things that's going to happen in our communities nationwide. That means posters and other things are going to get ready to go into black stores and so forth. Anyway, we'll be giving that kind of information tomorrow.
Okay. So let me say this before we close out. Is there anyone that has any information they'd like to share with us? If so, you need to press 1 now, and we certainly will welcome you to do so. I want to also remind you in the meantime that our Black Asian Network, some of our affiliates are, of course, Sister Keisha every Thursday from 8 to 10. I mean, they're doing the thing over there, too. They had Sister Pam on this past week. It was powerful, powerful, as usual, with Brother Ashe, Brother Ted. And again, Thorough Black Talk, you can find them on YouTube every week. And, you know, if you miss one session, it's okay because you can always see it and hear it. And, of course, Brother Mike with Community Cop, also on YouTube. And let's see, Brother Lee, of course, is on blog like us, and his is on Sundays from 7 o'clock to 9 p.m. with Africa on the Move. By the way, family, we are also getting ready to observe African Liberation Day. Yep. So some groups and some, you know, folks are already observing it or doing programs around it. So, you know, you can kind of peruse through your search bar or spaces. And I'm sure if you plug in African Liberation Day, you will certainly come up with some activities that's going on in your community and also online. Okay. All right. Well, listen, I think we're going to close this session out. Our apologies again. We were supposed to have Sister Pam Africa. And, again, she doesn't keep late hours often anymore, so I'm sure she is knocked out by now. But certainly we'll get her on next week. And, again, remember tomorrow. We will be giving some updates tomorrow, 1 o'clock. We'll be on Zoom starting at 1. We have 3 or 4 presenters, all excellent. So, again, I said I would give you a couple of numbers that you could call into. So let me do that. Okay, let's see. All right, here we go. So the couple of numbers. Now, again, if you email me, I will actually send you the link, right? Nope, that's not it. I meant, and that's for folks who are online. And also you can do it on your phone as well, or your iPad or what have you. But if you want to call in, here is a couple of numbers that I'm going to give you that you can call in and check it out. Okay, so it's 646-558-8656. Again, 646-558-8656. Another number is 301-715-8592. Again, 301-715-8592. Now, if for whatever reason you're asked for an ID, I'll give you that number. That is 840-3305-2117. Again, if it asks for a meeting ID, that will be 840-3305-2117. Or if for whatever reason it asks for a passcode, that would be 816-349. Again, if you're asked for a passcode, that would be 816-349. Okay. It'd be a lot easier if you just email us, and then that way we could send you the link, and all you got to do is just click on to it. All right. All right, family, one other last thing. Next Saturday for the Umoja Unity Circle, starting at 5 o'clock, Sister Ramona Africa will be presenting. It's been a while since Sister Ramona has kind of been available to talk. She was recently hospitalized again, so it's going to be really, really good to hear her live next week. So again, the Umoja Unity Talks, you do have to register. Registration is free, but you do have to register. So again, you can email us and we'll send you the link
for you to be able to register to hear Sister Ramona Africa next Saturday at 5 o'clock p.m. along with Brother Odinga. Sekou Odinga. Both of them, of course, are former political prisoners, and certainly both of them have a lot of powerful information to share with you. Okay, again, if you want the link for that presentation for next Saturday for the Umoja Unity Talk, just email me at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can text me. And the text, of course, is area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. And then we'll get that link to you. All right. All right, family, we're going to close this session out, and we thank you all for tuning in. We will be back next week, and I should be in Tulsa, actually, so we'll be coming to you, hopefully, from Tulsa, Oklahoma, okay? All right, we're going to close out. I was trying to find the clip for you of Mumia, which would have talked about his health is something that he prepared. And for some reason, I am not finding it. So it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to play it. But I have to do it for next week, okay? All right, family, we're going to close this session out. You know what we say right about now. We're going to leave you. Excuse me. As we always have, greet you in the spirit of Ma'adenhotep. But remember, there will never be any real peace until there is truly, truly Ma'atic justice, because y'all know there is not going to be any real justice until, or any real peace rather, until there's really, really holistic, irreversible, unequivocal justice, black justice. All right, family, thank you all again, and talk to you tomorrow. Again, we started Zoom, our Zoom Reparatory Justice Session, 1 o'clock. Peace to you all.